You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. It is Friday, and those words are always near and dear to my heart. And I hope that you are getting ready to have a great weekend. You know, school's been back in session. Make sure that you watch out for those school zones and pray for the kiddos and the teachers and the staff and all of that. Make sure that they stay places that are safe, that it is a place where children can go, they can learn, but that there are a lot of young people who are believers and pray that they are influencers in the school rather than being influenced towards things of ungodliness. Merritt Assembly of God, by the way, I don't talk about this very much. We are a very outward focused church in that we do a lot of things in the community. We're very active in supporting elementary school, even more active in helping out with Rockledge High School. And we've also got a middle school and a high school and another high school. We're very interested in being a blessing outside the four walls of the church. We also conduct services in some of the nursing homes, care centers around in Merritt Island, some of them during the week, some of them on Sunday afternoons once a month. And so if you're looking for a church that has a lot going on, even though we're a small church, we have a lot of things that are going on. And I'll say this, if you're a drummer or a guitar player, you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would like to serve the Lord with the gifts that he has endowed you with and be a blessing to other people, you know, we'd be interested in talking to you. We would love to be able to and enhance our praise and worship services with musicians as well. We have a piano player. We have a worship leader. We've got some instrumentalists that are being called by God. They just haven't shown up yet. So we'd love to have you come and join us. Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. We pray that you will have a plan in place that, like we've been talking about here in 1 Corinthians 2 this week, that as God has prepared things for those who love him, that those who love him will be prepared to use their gifts and bless God and be a blessing to others as well. So with that being said, this is your personal invitation from Pastor Bob to join us Sunday morning at 10:30. I will say this as well. Sunday morning, this coming Sunday morning, we normally have a fifth Sunday potluck after church, but this time we are having a breakfast at 9:30 before church. And so if you're looking to come, last time we did this was back around, let's see, I think it was on Easter Sunday. We had a lot of people that don't normally come to Sunday school that ended up showing up for the breakfast. And so we're going to worship the Lord from a full belly this coming Sunday morning. Hopefully you can join us 9:30 in our fellowship hall. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read verse number 9 again, and then I'm going to drop down to verse number 13. And then we're going to pick up on verse number 14 and read to the end of the chapter. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Drop down to verse number 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So on yesterday's program, we had talked about Paul was speaking the things that the Holy Spirit taught him, and that he was comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And what that means is we measure everything by the Word of God. The Word of God is spirit. It is written. It's written in an intellectual way. There are emotions that are represented there. It does involve reading it, but the Holy Spirit teaches us so that we not only gain from it its intellectual application, but its spiritual foundation as well. And so in verse number 14, where it has said in verse 13 that believers are comparing spiritual things with spiritual, verse 14 begins to discuss people who are not yet believers. And it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now, I will tell you, there is a temptation many times among believers to say, well, we want to tone down the things of the Spirit, the spiritual activities that are going on, because we don't want to offend any unbelievers that come into the room. And I want you to know that that is a philosophy of this world. It's not necessarily in alignment with the Word of God. And here's what I mean by that. The Holy Spirit loves the lost more than we do. And the spiritual need that people have is greater. There are a lot of times where things happen in a normal day of life that I don't understand, but I do know enough to say this. Even though I don't understand how it works, I realize that it functions. So if we ever cease to desire the will of God to try and appeal to the carnal nature of man, we've missed it as believers. The truth of the matter is that people who are not yet believers in God, it says that they do not receive the things of the Spirit. We'll discuss more about that in just a moment. It doesn't mean that we are rude, because we're operating from a foundation of love. Okay? And the reality is this: every one of us, every believer, was at one point in time a person who did not know what was going on spiritually. I remember there was a movie made about Jesus, and there was a government official overseas and said, that movie does not depict the love of God in any form or fashion. They completely rejected the premise, and the truth of the matter is, that society, even though it was once a very godly society, is now more inclined away from the things of God than they are towards the things of God. So the natural person, the person that is not yet saved, is not the standard bearer for rationale. They may come at it from an intellectual standpoint. They may come at it from a cultural standpoint. They may come at it from an economic standpoint. They may come at it from an emotional standpoint or a personal experience. But none of those things are the foundation for the Word of God. The foundation for the Word of God is that it is spiritual. So they reject the things of the Spirit of God. Now, if you have a delivery that comes to my house, if it's not addressed to you, then I'm going to make sure it gets delivered to the right house. It doesn't mean that the contents of the package are invalid just because I refuse to accept the delivery. It doesn't belong to me. I didn't order it, didn't pay for it. And so I want to make sure it gets to the appropriate hands. I don't ever say, well, that box must be completely empty because it showed up at my doorstep and I got no explanation why. I can tell you this, that just because unbelievers do not recognize the validity of the Word of God and the Spirit of God and God the Son and the plan of the Father doesn't invalidate the reality of it. It says they do not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And here's the next statement. For they are foolishness to him. Preaching may seem like foolishness, but I will tell you this, the world has adopted to a great degree the concept of proclaiming a message. So it's not that it is the mechanism of a church service, it's the message. You see, the flesh says, I've got to do this. I've got to put in this amount of effort. I've got to earn my way. And the kingdom of God says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They said, what are the works of God? And Jesus said, believe on the one that God has sent. Having faith is essential. And so when you look at the differing categories of missing the mark, some of them are much more heinous in the eyes of men than others. Some are much more quantified. There are some that have a whole bunch of sin, and there are others who, you know, don't have that much. But the blood of Jesus is essential for forgiving each and every one of them. And I can tell you that the Bible is filled with people who did horrible things that got forgiven by God, and God used them to do great things in the kingdom of God. So many people think it's foolish. Now, here's one of the things that I found interesting. This goes back probably a decade or so, where they were trying to create atheist churches. They realized the value of community. Now, think about this. Unbelievers recognized that there was value in gathering together as believer or as a community. At the same time, many people who name the name of Jesus are choosing not to be a part of a larger community where they can utilize their gifts and be blessed by the gifts of others. The Bible does talk about iron sharpening iron, but this atheist church is like, well, what's that message look like? You know, where we believe in eternity, and an atheistic group of people would say, nope, this is all there is. And what songs are you going to sing? You're going to sing the top 40 on the rock charts or the pop charts, or how's that work? How, you know, we are, the Bible describes believers as prisoners of hope, that now abide faith, hope, and love. And the reality is that Bible-believing Christians who realize that they have been strategically placed by God, equipped by God to accomplish a purpose, that we are a blessing to a community, not a liability to a community. And so people do not receive the things of the Spirit because they consider the message of the cross foolishness. Paul was preaching and the concept of the resurrection came up, and that became something that many in that group could not get past. They began to mock him. But if you continue reading, there were plenty who mocked. They silenced the message, but there were also people who said, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. And so the message of the cross, if you read in chapter 1, verse number 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so just because someone else determines something is foolish doesn't mean that it is foolish. I heard a story a long time ago about a missionary. Now, this goes back to the days of paper tracts and things like that. And a missionary had material produced in the language of the people group that he was trying to reach. And he handed this tract to a man in the community, and he rejected it entirely. He took it, he ripped it up into a bunch of little pieces. He tossed it up into the air, and he didn't think any more about it. And when he got home, he went to take off his sweater, and there was one little piece of the tract that had stuck to his sweater, and it said three words: "And God said," in his language, "and God said." That was it. And instead of just brushing it off, it really became an intriguing point of interest for him. And so he didn't sleep all night long. He got up the next morning and he went looking for the missionary who had been passing out the tract earlier. And he said, "Please, sir, can I have one of those?" And the missionary said, "Why would I give you one? You tore up the literature yesterday. You tossed it up and you completely rejected the message." And he told him what had happened. And he said these words: "I have to know, what did God say?" And so I want to build your faith. There may be some people you're ministering to or praying for, and they have rejected the message of the cross as foolishness right now. But you don't know what the Holy Spirit may bring to their remembrance. Things that you say, if the missionary had not passed out the tract before, a portion of that would not have got stuck on the sweater, would not have prompted the man to go back. So, again, you and I, we are called to obey the things that God commands us to do. God will handle the results. So, it goes on and it says, not only does he not receive them, he considers them foolish, but then it says this: nor can he know them. So there are a lot of efforts that people have to how they filter information. I preached a message. Honestly, I think it was one of the most meaningful messages to me that I preached. I went and bought, actually I had them for my house, so I brought in six air filters. I buy them in bunches so I don't have to go every month because that gets inconvenient. And I said, these are how people filter things. Sometimes they filter them by their feelings. Sometimes they filter things through their emotions. I won't go through all of them. Sometimes they filter them through the facts that they've encountered. We filter things through the Word of God. We filter them through our faith. And when it comes to the Word of God, people can't know them when they consider them foolish. You will never be able to filter it through an emotion or through an intellectual standpoint first. You won't be able to filter it through your emotions first. It has to be filtered. It says they cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. So it is very important. In fact, we've got a gentleman in our church. He is a big advocate of the writings of Watchman Nee, who was a Chinese Christian many, many years ago. And he talks about that there would come a time when people would minister or serve out of their soul instead of out of their spirit. And so my message as a pastor is not supposed to be just a lecture, a theological lecture. It needs to be anointed by the Spirit of God. It needs to be empowered by the Spirit of God, directed to the heart by the Spirit of God, so that it makes the difference. It has to have a spiritual power to it. I've heard ministers say, well, I only appeal to the intellect of a person. And in all honesty, they did a great job at building a very large ministry. So I'm not here to point fingers, but I want to minister the word that God has for Merritt Assembly of God on a Sunday morning. So I could find the best messages that have ever been preached, but if no one in my congregation needed that message on a certain point in time, then it would be a waste of time. So here a few weeks ago, I'll just tell you some of the messages that I preached, and there were people who sent me words of encouragement and say, I really needed that. One of them was a takeoff of the phrase, "This means war." For the believers, I titled it, "This means prayer." Because we're supposed to pray continually. We're supposed to always be praying. And whether we are having a victory or whether we are having a challenge, whether the doctor gave us a good report or a challenging report, it calls for prayer. Every day that the sun comes up, if you're alive, it calls for prayer. If the finances are great, it calls for prayer. If the finances are not great, it calls for prayer. If you are young, if you are old, if you're a man, if you're a woman, everything calls for prayer. God's people are called to his house, which is to be known as a house of prayer for all nations. I also preached a message, and it was titled this, Abandoned But Not Alone. And it talked about how you might not have a lot of human beings that are around you when you would really like to have some human beings around you. But Paul wrote to Timothy and said, but the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me. And there were some people who really needed those messages. And so you want to deliver the spirit anointed message at the right amount of time or at the right time. And so our job is to make sure that we reach people, that we share the message that God has, so that the people who need to hear that message will respond to God out of their spirit. And so there are a lot of times when people say, oh, they're just having an emotional encounter. Well, here's what I have discovered about people. I experienced this here not too long ago when I was out doing, visiting some of the saints at Merritt Assembly of God. And there were things, and I know about the different regions of the brain and things like that, but this one person was struggling with memory, but all of a sudden there was something that was mentioned, and as a result of that, it triggered something in this individual, and they started singing a song that was decades old, a song I've never heard. It was a theme song, and it went back decades and decades, and the reason that they could remember it was because it was something precious to them. They had intellectual prowess, they had some musical ability, but they had also experienced an emotional connection that led to a spiritual encounter with worship. Their spirit, their whole being was involved in that. And so when we come to worship, in fact, I saw a couple of worship leaders and said, things I've heard as a worship leader. And sometimes it can be like I've experienced, where people are lined up one by one to say exactly the opposite thing. One, as soon as the other one gets, it's too loud, it's too quiet, too hot, too cold, all sorts of things. And here's what I have found with people with praise and worship. If they were impacted emotionally and spiritually by a certain song, they are moved whenever that song comes into a recurred use. Conversely, if they have no emotional connection, they may be turned off about it and want to criticize it. And here's what I will tell you. Worship is not about you, and it is not about me. Worship is not about the person to the right or to the person to the left. Worship is about Jesus, and we have to grow to the point where we are going to worship Jesus because he's worthy to be praised, worthy to be worshiped all of the time, no matter how we feel, no matter how distracted. We're supposed to take every thought, bring it into captivity, subject it to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I will tell you this, every day he's worthy to be praised. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness to him. He can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. Let's make sure that we avail ourselves of the gift that God has for us, that we say, God, God, the Holy Spirit, help me to understand the things I'm supposed to know. See you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.